The reading today is Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. And as it's World Mission, as we're talking about different countries and different languages, I'm going to read it in Portuguese. Deus chama Abraão. Certo dia, o Senhor Deus disse a Abraão, saia da sua terra, do meio dos seus parentes e da casa do seu pai e vá para uma terra que eu lhe mostrarei. Os seus descendentes vão formar uma grande nação. Eu o abençoarei, o seu nome será famoso e você será uma bênção para os outros. Abençoarei os que o abençoarão e amaldiçoarei os que amaldiçoarem. E por meio de você, eu abençoarei todos os povos do mundo. Amém.
Amen. I'm going to read in English now. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jamie, who will be sharing with us today, Lord. Thank you for how you have called him and Michaela to serve overseas in France. And I pray that you would bless them as they prepare to move over with their family, Lord. And now, as he helps us to dig into your word, I pray that you would use him to speak to each one of us today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Seeing a wide angle shot. It's awesome to be here with you guys this morning. Oh, there's way more people than I could see before. I was sitting at the front, so I couldn't see behind me. But good morning, everyone, and good morning, everyone on the camera as well. This morning, we're going to continue working through the series that we've been working through, which is looking at how the whole biblical narrative, and we can see God's plan right from the start, all the way through to the end. And it's such a joy to be here on World Week as well, with all the flags around. Aya and I have enjoyed coming through this week and having a little look at flags, and she's enjoyed pointing out the different flags, particularly Brazil, because she loves Nelia. So she's been loving Brazilian flag. But today, we are looking at one of the key moments in the biblical story, if not the whole of Scripture. And Tim made it really, really clear to me that this was a really important week, and so I couldn't mess it up. Because it's one of the points that we're going to come back to a lot. It's the beginning of God showing his amazing plan for missions and bringing us back in. And it has major implications for what we believe about missions as a church. So there's no pressure on me here this morning, obviously. So Genesis 12, 1 to 3 is often called the second beginning in the Genesis account. We've had the first beginning, which is the creation story, you know, where God made everything and declared it good. And then he declares humans very good after he makes them. But then from that point, sin enters the world through Adam and Eve's actions, like we saw last week. And from there, we see things going from bad to worse as sin through humanity destroys everything, ruins God's perfect creation. And in the chapters before Genesis 12, we have the account of Cain killing his brother Abel, the story of the flood, where God saw how bad humanity was and had to take drastic action and bring judgment. And then there's the account of the Tower of Babel, where man wanted to make themselves greater than God, give themselves a great name, and build a huge tower into heaven, and God had to bring judgment again and scatter them through different languages. And so far, the writer of Genesis has had a wide-angle lens on what's going on in history and in Scripture. And he kind of zooms in on specific points so we understand where he's going and what he's trying to tell us. But at the moment, we can begin to see that he's kind of zooming in and panning in on one specific family line. And that's what we see at the end of chapter 11. We see that Noah's son Shem, which was one of the guys on the ark, and his wife are the direct ancestors, of a man named Abram. His name's Abram still at the moment. He lives in a place called Haran. And it's at this point in the verses we read this morning that we begin to see the incredible way that God is planning on reconciling and bringing man back to himself. And it's completely unexpected. Because, you know, God speaks to an ordinary man who's not at all special. He doesn't even appear to be a great lover of God when he speaks to Abraham. And he gives him a crazy instruction with massive promises. And I think it's okay for us to pause for a second on how normal Abraham is when he approaches him. He's just an old man with no children, no prospects of having children. He's not a great man. He doesn't have loads of wealth. He's not really well known. He's very normal. And I don't know about you, but that really encourages me to know that he's just a normal guy. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel completely ordinary and I have absolutely nothing to offer God, who has everything. But today we're going to see that God is the master of taking the ordinary and using it greatly. He's the master of taking the things that seem unimportant and making them the most key and important things. And so these instructions with the promises about one family through which he chooses to bless all is the second beginning in Genesis. It's the beginning of God's restoration plan for humanity, to bring them back into the personal relationship that we lost when Adam and Eve sinned, like we saw last week. And it starts here, right at the beginning of Scripture in Genesis, even really at the beginning of the Genesis story. But you know, we have the same invitation to be a part of this blessing that we're going to be reading about and these promises. So the first point is, how does this happen? And that's taking a step of faith. So the first thing we see before God promises blessing is he gives Abraham a crazy life-altering instruction. He says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he's basically saying, leave everything you've ever known and the people you're comfortable with and move to a foreign place, and then I will bless you. And interestingly, it stages. I think something that caught me is that it stages. Abraham is told to go from separations that are more and more difficult. So it starts off with, go from your country, relatively easy. I mean, it's a place we feel comfortable, we can go outside and we feel okay. There's no culture shock normally in our own country. So he's told to leave there first. And then he's told to leave his people. So the people he has connections with, the place he feels more secure, the people he knows. And then he's told to leave that most secure bubble. He's told to leave his father's household, that place where he feels really supported and secure and safe. And so it's going to be a hard step for Abraham to take. He's told to leave everything, but he's not told where he's going. And he's only got this guarantee of a promise at some point in the future. And Abraham is a massive example of faith. And we should be encouraged and challenged by it. Later on, he's praised in Hebrews 11. He's praised as being a man of faith and trusting God with everything, because at this point he had no guarantees, he had nothing to go on, he had nothing within himself that would mean that it was going to be possible. How could he be a great nation? He has no kids, his wife is old and she's barren. There is no way in himself he is able to be this promised blessing that God's saying he's going to be. He's just an ordinary guy. And it's this decision to jump in and to trust God that is so countercultural for us, right? It's completely the opposite of what our culture tells us. Our culture tells us that we need to do everything we can to make our name great. And it's reflected in the story of the Tower of Babel, right? They do everything they can to make themselves great. And it's the same thing that we live in today. But God called us and Abraham to lay that down, to trust him, to surrender control of our lives in a powerful way. And God really spoke to me one of the last times I spoke when I was talking about giving. And it's something that Jen keeps reminding me of as well. And it's that God's system of finances is not the same as the world's system of finances. The world system tells us that we earn and then we get to spend. So we work hard, we get given what we are due, and then we're able to spend it on what we want. But God tells us that the way finances work is that we are given and we receive. And it's a transformational way of viewing things. You know, it's a laying down of independence, which is something we're told to go get. We're told to be independent, live completely off your own back. Don't depend on anyone. But God says that we should depend on people, that we should trust him and others too. And Michaela and I are starting to feel the sting of this whole idea of having to give up independence, having to trust God with everything as we get ready to move to France And trust him in that. But also we're beginning to understand a little bit more about what it means for Abraham in this story, where he's told to leave his country, leave the people he loves, and leave the places he feels comfortable. But at least we know where we're going, right? I think that's, we get a bonus there. We know where we're going. Abraham had absolutely no idea. He was just told to follow. But I think there's something really awesome that we see in that promise, that call from God to just follow, which is that God isn't wanting Abraham just to go to a specific place. He's wanting Abraham to walk with him in full dependence on him. You know, it's a picture of Eden, what was lost. And Dan was talking to us last week about what he thinks one of the saddest pictures in Scripture is, which is where God walks in the Garden of Eden and he's looking for Adam and Eve, and he calls out to them and they're hiding. And so what God is calling Abraham into is to walk with him in that same way, to be in that relationship that we're designed to be in. He's invited to leave behind his old life and embrace something better. But the even more striking thing about that, I think, is that that's the same invitation we get in Christianity, right? God hasn't changed. The invitation we all received was to leave behind our old lives and to embrace something better. And that's what we see when we come to baptisms, right? We see the picture of dying to our old lives and being raised into something better in the life of Jesus. And I was trying to think of an illustration that would really sell this point so it would stick in your minds. And I was asking God because I couldn't think of something. And the illustration he gave me, I thought, was completely weird. But I'll tell you anyway. Basically, it was from the book we read not that long ago as a church called We Died Before We Came Here, which was an incredible book. And we got to speak to the author afterwards, which was a real blessing just to hear from her a little bit more about the story. But basically, she tells the story of how her husband and herself and their kids left their comfortable life in the USA and moved to North Africa, a dangerous country in North Africa, where they were at risk of dying because of sharing their faith. And long story short, the husband ends up dying for his faith. After a while of living in the country, he loses his life as a result of sharing Jesus with people. And so I was like, how on earth does this show this point of laying down your old life and embracing something better? He seems to have left what seems comfortable and died, which is for us the ultimate loss. But the way the wife talks about the husband afterwards and talks about him when we had the time to chat to her, the way she remembers him as a man with a deep sense of purpose. He knew what he was called to do. He knew he was there. And actually the title of the book is something that he'd said. He said that he'd already died before they left. He wasn't afraid of dying. He'd already done that. He'd already lost that life. But he had deep relationships with God and the people around him. And he had a deep joy. He was truly a blessing to people he met. And he left behind a life of comfort and chose to follow God and into a special life of dependence on him, which is way beyond anything that even I can imagine. Trusting God with your family in dangerous places is an incredible dependence on God. And it's faith like this and faith like Abraham's, as we see in the passage this morning, that leaves a legacy because it leaves behind God's work, right? It's a walking with God in the purposes that God has called us to. And so that is something that is way more important, way more special than comfort could ever give us. So what is God calling you to trust him with? What step of faith is he calling you to take? Maybe it's giving in World Week. Maybe it's trusting him with your finances. Or maybe it's going somewhere. Maybe it's stepping out and asking God where he's sending you. So we've spoken about the first half of the passage, which is the side that Abraham and we get to do. I want to quickly, because I'm running out of time, taking way too long, on the side that God does, which is the more exciting and the incredible side. So let's have a look, which brings me to my second point, which is blessed to be a blessing. So God asks Abraham these crazy things, right? It's no small task. It's costly. But God promises blessing out of it. And the things that God promises blessing is actually kind of matches symmetrically what he's asked Abraham to do. So he's asked Abraham to leave his country, to leave his people, and to leave his family. And then he promises a blessing for Abraham specifically, the people he meets, so the people, I will bless who you bless and curse who curses you. And then he blesses the entire world. So it matches what God calls him to do, which is going in, and God blesses him going back out. So Abram gets a pretty good deal if he chooses to obey. Lost my place, sorry. But if we look carefully at the blessings that God gives, it's all about inclusion. It's all about drawing people in, right? It's not about using Abraham as just a specific example of blessing that no one else can be a part of. He wants to draw people in. And we see in the first chunk of the promises that God says that he'll make Abraham into a great nation. Bless him, use him to bless others and make his name great. And part of the way he does that is maybe through physical blessing, so possibly using wealth to meet a need, or using their size as a great nation to offer security, which are things that Abraham does later on in the line, and I'm sure we'll check out later. But the other and more important part of the blessing is that he'll be an example of what it means to be in relationship with God wherever he is, you know, in that walking in full dependence, like I was laboring a second ago with God. As we were designed for, what we lost with Adam and Eve that Dan was talking about last week. And in the second chunk of the promises, God pushes the boundaries of the blessing beyond even Abraham himself and says that the entire world will be blessed as a result of him. And the fulfillment of this blessing is the exciting part that catches us up. We see in Matthew 1 that Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham and so an heir of this promise to be a blessing to the world. And obviously a large part of that ultimate blessing was what Abraham got a taste of. It was that we would be able to be back in a full relationship with God in the way we were designed. This restored picture of Eden, of walking with God as we were designed. And we get to enjoy him and live in dependence on him and enjoy that relationship. And Paul reminds us that the other part of the blessing is that Jesus became poor so that we could become rich, rich in heavenly blessings. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, he talks about how we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So we've been ultimately blessed much more than we could ever understand through our restored relationship with Jesus and through these spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. But the point of our blessings is the same as the point of Abraham's blessing. Our point... the point of us being blessed is to share those blessings, to incorporate others in that. But equally, I think it's a fair point to say that if this blessing is something you want, it's not something you currently understand or you want more of, we're all able to get that. It's an open access. All we have to do is accept Jesus and put your faith completely in him and your dependence on him to accept this. But I think one thing that I just wanted to finish off with quickly is this culmination. So the point of this whole series is to make us see how the thread runs through the whole of Scripture. And we've had the promise to Abraham of being a blessing. This promise is fulfilled in Jesus, ultimately beyond anything that Abraham could have ever imagined. And Jesus fulfills it to bless the entire world. And then in Revelation, we see the culmination of this blessing In the passage I'm going to read for us now, in Revelation 7, verses 9 to 12, we see the culmination of this blessing that God gave to Abraham right back in Genesis. And it says this, John, in a vision, sees this of heaven. I'll read it for you now. It says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" What John saw, this uncountable multitude of people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. So incorporating every kind of person imaginable, worshipping God around his throne and enjoying the relationship they were designed for, is the completion of the promise that Abraham was given right back in Genesis. There's this thread that runs all the way through Scripture, in the first book and in the last book. It runs all the way through. And I said that this would have major implications for our view of missions as a church. And it's caught up in that picture of heaven, in that God calls us to be his representatives where we are. So mission isn't something that we do. It's not something that we employ people to do. It's not something that just Michaela and I get to be blessed in doing. It's something that we're all called into. The moment we accepted Jesus, we were starting on this life of missions. It's something that we are. It's something that we do. And Michaela and I are so honored to be able to join the group of people sent from this church to France to join in what God's doing there. And we're excited to one day be standing around the throne with you guys and with French nationals praising God together. But also, God has got in store so much more than that. He wants the people that you're friends with, your family, the people you know that don't know him. He wants them around the throne as well. And that's part of the calling that we're all called into, that blessing that we all get to share in. So the point of my second point was blessed to be a blessing. And I'm just asking us, how are we using the blessing that we've been blessed with? How are we sharing our faith, this ultimate blessing that God has for all of creation? How are we sharing that with the people that we know, the people that we love? So where is God calling you to take a step of faith? That's my first challenge. And what blessing is God calling you to use to bless others? So I'm gonna pray for us now about those things. And after I've prayed, the prayer room is gonna open up. So if you would like to pray into any of these things some more, you would like to have someone pray with you about speaking to someone, sharing your faith, maybe stepping out in faith yourself, please use the prayer room that we've got online. So let me just pray for us now. Father God, thank you that you are the God who is outside of time, the God who plans things perfectly, Lord, that you planned right back when you spoke to Abraham, that that picture would be fulfilled, that blessing would be fulfilled in Jesus, and then ultimately we would all be able to be gathered around your throne as a result, Lord, that we would be able to worship you in the full dependence and that full relationship on you that we were designed for. Lord, thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we were designed for. Father, I pray you'd help us to step out in dependence on you, Lord, to let go of the things that the world tells us that we need, Lord, to let go of our dependence on finances, our dependence on independence. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us more greatly than we could ever understand. Father, you'd help us to understand the blessings that we have in Jesus, the blessings of spiritual realities in this heavenly realms. That I pray that you would use that to fuel us, to fuel your people, Lord, that as a result of understanding how blessed we are, you would help us to be able to step out in blessing others. So Lord, I just pray you be with us now as we continue to worship, that you would continue to speak to us. Father, you would help us to see what else you've got in store for us. Amen.